Thursday, January 13th. President had a super loaded schedule this morning while he was down from Camp David just for the day to get some things cleaned up. By 2:30, when he finally finished it, he called me in and was pretty upset, really blasted me on the point that we must never lie to ourselves regarding the schedule. For example, the McElroy meeting on schools was set up, school financing was set up for a half hour. There was no way to do it in a half an hour because both McElroy and Bob Merriam each had a 15-minute monologue, plus you had the vice president, Elliot Richardson, and so on in there. So that resulted in Bob Anderson getting in an hour late, so the president had to give him more time than he was scheduled for because he had delayed him for so long. So then I guess the highlight of disaster in it was that during the McElroy meeting, Steve Bull came in to try to break it up while the vice president was talking. The vice president stopped, looked at Steve, said, "Yes, is there something you want?" And the president had to kick Steve out. Got into a couple personnel questions today. Shakespeare replacement, the president said to go ahead on Loomis. On Peterson, president said he would take Eberle for that job if that seemed to be the best thing, although his inclination still was to go with Flanagan, which apparently everyone else agrees on. We had a report at the staff meeting this morning from McGregor that he had been told by Walter Moat, who had presumably been told by Muskie's AA, that in the next 3 or 4 days, Muskie's going to make a major charge against the president regarding the Anderson papers. He'll announce that he's going to identify the culprit who leaked the papers, that it's a member of the president's cabinet, and that it's the Secretary of Defense, or it might be the Secretary of State. He'll make the charge that we prosecute Ellsberg for his leak, which was of old, outdated stuff, while we protect the guy who leaks the Anderson papers, which are current, secret, and hot. Finch came in this morning to tell me that he was seriously considering going for the Al Smith seat in Congress, since Smith announced yesterday he's not going to run again. If the five at-large seats don't materialize next Tuesday, then Bob will announce for the Al Smith seat. Haig raised the point with me that our latest on the Kissinger problem is that Reston and the New York Times are now charging that the president's whole policy was based on an attempt to save the China trip and that the president was acting in anger, both of which are not true. He says also that Joe Alsop has done a piece that's real dynamite, based on information he's gotten from State and Helms and his own judgment, very heavily anti-State and anti-Rogers, and this will open another round of battles on that. As a result, Henry's planning to do a press briefing on Friday, feeling that he's got to clear the whole thing up. I had a meeting with the VP today to work out campaign relationships. He says he trusts only me at the White House and wants to deal directly with me on any orders that he gets from the president. He also has an idea to come up with new legislation for a top secret classification that will be declared only by the president and not subject to question as to substance, so that we'll have a way to convict people who leak stuff. On the Kissinger problem, I gave the Haig report to the president, and he said that Henry must not have a press briefing, that if we have to settle for something, get him to do the Frankel backgrounder just as a one-on-one to get the Pakistan story out and let it go at that. Haig agreed that was the right thing to do. Later in the day, the president made the point that he's really been thinking about the Kissinger thing and that maybe we've got to bite the bullet now and get him out. The problem is, if we don't, he'll be in the driver's seat during the campaign, and we've got to remember that he did leak things to us in 68, and then we've got to assume he's capable of doing the same thing to our opponents in 72. Then he called me at home tonight from Camp David and said that he had talked with Haig and told him to take a very hard line with Henry when he gets back. That it's better for him to blow now than after Russia, and that if we don't face up to it now, he may go off cockeyed during the campaign, as he did in 68. His other problem on at the time of the phone call was that he's still sitting around waiting for a draft from Price. This has been a speech-writing disaster, and getting the State of the Union put together, Ray just can't get himself buttoned up to get the thing done. President's at Camp David tonight, and presumably he'll stay there through the weekend. He's got Price up there, or Price is going up by car this evening, and Rose and Marge are up there, as well as Pat, Trish, and Ed. End of January 13th.